Reaching the halfway point of session this year, Senator. Several bills that were talked about this week, in addition to those that have been discussed and debated so far the first half of session.
We're starting to get busier as we go along. Committees are turning bills in, and calendar is starting to get longer, and so we'll be using more flexibility, I'm sure, when we come back, because there'll be lots of folks that have legislation that they want processed. And we did work on a number of things this week. You know, one of the committees that I serve on is gubernatorial appointments. When the governor has appointments to different positions that are appointed, those have to come before us, and we are able to examine the appointees and make calls on whether to vote to support or not to support them. And we had a really significant one this week that I frankly was very pleased with. The governor has replaced the superintendent of the Highway Patrol with former major, now he'll be Colonel, Brett Johnson. I knew Brett when I was in the House. Spent a lot of time with him talking about Highway Patrol issues as well as other issues, and I just couldn't be happier with the governor choice of him as the superintendent. I think that the state of Missouri is going to be really benefited by having him in that position. So I don't know how many of our listeners know will now be Colonel Johnson, but I think if they have an opportunity to meet him, they'll like him. He was involved in Ferguson and just a very level-headed, depth of character that can't be questioned, and very godly man. And I just am really pleased that he's going to be the one leading that law enforcement division. We had a number of things on the floor this week, the prescription drug monitoring program. A lot of the proponents of that feel like it's something that we have to do because of so-called out-of-control drug problems that we have with prescription drugs. And I understand their concern. I guess vehemently opposed to the database approach to that. You know, one of the arguments that's frequently used is, well, you know, 49 other states have all done this, and Missouri is the only holdout. But if you look at the information, not every state has done the same thing, and not every state has set up the controls on the same types of drugs. So there are a lot of differences. So that's a little bit misrepresented. It doesn't really address the real concerns. You know, the real concerns go all the way from constitutional issues as to whether this is a violation of privacy, whether it's an unconstitutional invasion of someone's personal information by having this database. I have not had a chance to be up on the floor yet and discuss it. That bill is on the informal calendar now. We spent some time on it. We'll probably go back to it early in the week that we return. But I have a number of questions that I want to ask the sponsor and maybe some of the other colleagues on the floor. The first of which is about its constitutionality, whether we're talking about the state constitution, Article 1, Section 15, I think it is, or whether we're talking about the Fourth Amendment, where unlawful search and seizure is not something that is constitutionally allowed. And we're talking about taking this database where we have a relatively small percentage of offenders and putting everybody's personal information about the drugs that they purchase into that database. And there are lots of safeguards that are supposedly built into it, but there were probably lots of safeguards into our CCW permit data that was shared with the federal government on three occasions as well. I have a number of constituents that are very concerned about the bill, and I've talked to some of my Senate colleagues, and at least one believes that the bill will fail when we have our final vote. I hope that he was right in his assessment, and a number of my colleagues have already been up and expressed their concerns, and I hope before the bill comes to a vote to get up and express some of my concerns and ask some questions that I think are important. Any one of these security breaches that we've seen, if you had asked someone a week or a month or a year before that breach, when will we have a breach, they would have said, well, we're not supposed to have a breach. And as much as 24 hours before they happen, our opinions would be that's not going to happen. So to be able to assure my constituents that their data would be safe is a little bit of a risky proposition. I continue to be opposed to that and hope that we are able to garner the kind of opposition that keeps it from becoming law in Missouri. We also worked this week, not to the same length, but to a conclusion on some new additional bonding that is going to happen in Missouri. I've been opposed to the bonding all along, but it has changed in its character. The latest version actually takes bonding caps that were increased last year in the name of deferred maintenance. We have over $1 billion worth of deferred maintenance that's off books, so it doesn't show up in the budget. It's obligations to keep up buildings and maintain buildings that the state either owns or leases and operates, and we've just neglected that. And I think one of the reasons, Dean, is because most people don't put their names on buildings that they maintain. They put their names on buildings that they build new. And the politics of it can be pretty powerful. The latest proposal was to actually move $200 million of this new capacity for bonding into an undesignated rather than designated for maintenance type expenses that it could actually be used to build new buildings. Some of my colleagues in the Senate were able to work on the bill and get that down to a $75 million potential appropriation for new construction rather than $200 million, which certainly is better, and to do some other things in terms of accelerating, I guess, shortening the length of time that would be allowed for the bonding, which will also save, some say, as much as $110 million to the taxpayers because of those enforcement provisions in the new bill. But I still find it very difficult to support any new construction when we refuse to maintain the buildings that we already have. And so I voted no on that. There weren't many of us that voted no. Part of that, I think, is a lot of times people have in their districts places they want to spend that money. Taxpayer dollars tend to draw constituents. If somebody is promised an appropriation that might go to something in their district, it's harder for them to say no. I'm hoping that it turns out the way that it's supposed to work out, but I still think it was a bad idea to pass that. Along those same lines, we had a data center tax credit bill that came back from the House. It had passed the Senate. I opposed it when it passed the Senate. A number of reasons. One, I don't like tax credits. I think those are a bad idea, and I think that they have proven themselves to be a bad idea. And one of the others is that when you look at a data center and consider the relatively small financial impact of a tax credit, it's hard for me to imagine some board of directors making a multi-million dollar decision on such a small fiscal impact over some of the things like access to transportation and access to workforce and security in terms of the geography and location, those kind of things, proximity to other data centers. Missouri has a lot of things going for it in terms of drawing data centers. We already have a number of data centers that have been built in Missouri. It's because of the natural opportunities there. We have data centers in caves, data centers in underground facilities, the kind of things that would make sense in terms of business decisions for data centers. But it's just very difficult for me to envision someone walking into a board of directors meeting and saying, you know what, I know Missouri's not the best place for a data center, but we've got this tax credit, and so we really ought to build it there. I can see that being, I guess, a star on somebody's personal agenda, or somebody's personal biography, and saying, you know what, I was able to get this benefit to my company with this tax credit. I don't see that as a real influential thing when it comes to locating a very significant data center that's highly security dependent. Doesn't employ a lot of people, but there's a lot of capital involved, a lot of other things involved. For me to think that someone would actually put a data center in Missouri over a preferable location somewhere else because we offered them a tax credit, I look at it as kind of a bribe. I just don't see that happening. So I voted no on that bill, even though there weren't too many of us that were opposed to it. You know, the argument there obviously is, well, all the other states are doing it. Everybody else is offering these tax credits, so we have to do this to stay in the market. I just don't think that's a reasonable explanation.
Safe to say that in the second half, the budget will be the biggest thing that's done between March 30th and May, in this case, 8th?
Absolutely. I've talked to the budget chair just this week and asked him if everything was on schedule for us to take that budget up right away when we get back. And he said, absolutely, they were right on where they had hoped to be. And so they believe they're where we need to be. It's not going to be easy votes. There are going to be some hard decisions that we are going to have to make. It's my understanding that although we have actually grown revenue-wise, we've grown faster than most of us had anticipated, that the natural growth of the entitlements program, the welfare part of the budget, has more than consumed all the growth. And so we're in a situation once again where you've got education wanting more money, you've got social services demanding more money, and then you've got all these other little projects, big projects, that people want to do and believe it's in the best interest of the state to do that want money. It just doesn't work when you have to have a balanced budget. We're not like the federal government. We can't borrow money and say that we've made the budget work by borrowing money. We have to have the budget balance. And so there'll be some very hard work and some difficult votes, and there'll be some angry people out there that don't get what they want from the state budget. Part of the nature of that is we have become such a dependent society that we have lots and lots of government programs that simply transfer wealth from one group to another. There's much more of that than there is any other single segment of the budget.